This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. This week's been a rough one for Indiana. A week ago, Indiana Governor Mike Pence signed the state's Religious Freedom Restoration Act into law, igniting a firestorm of backlash from activists and businesses and politicians. They canceled conventions, called for modifications to the law. Some boycotted the state altogether. Their concern was that the law could allow private businesses effectively to discriminate against the LGBT community. Yesterday, with the hope of stemming some of those concerns, Governor Pence signed a new measure into law that would prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity under that new religious freedom law. Here with us now with the latest on the story is Brandon Smith. He's State House reporter at Indiana Public Broadcasting. Brandon, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. So under Indiana's original religious freedom law, there are protections apparently for discrimination for some categories. Was there ever a push to include protection for the LGBT community in the original law?
Well, in the original law, there weren't protections for any particular group. The original law simply established a judicial test, what they call a three-tier test, for when the government can infringe on a person's religious beliefs. So the original law didn't include any protections. There are protections in the Indiana State Civil Rights Statute on the basis of religion, race, gender, things like that, but not sexual orientation or gender identity.
Now, was there any sense as this original law went through that there'd be this kind of national response, as significant as it's been?
No, not this significant. There had been opposition throughout the process, the legislative process, to this bill from within the state, from the business community, the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, gay rights organizations, the ACLU here in Indiana, were all opposed to it. You had law professors opposed to it and supporting it, but nothing like what we saw over the last week. This was stunning to pretty much everybody on both sides of this debate.
Now, when we hear about people canceling conventions or considering canceling conventions, it might sound like a symbolic gesture. But as I understand it, Indianapolis is a big convention town. This is a serious economic issue, especially in that city.
Absolutely. Indianapolis is a really big convention town, as is not to the same extent, but Fort Wayne up in northeast Indiana as well. And they started to see cancellations, meetings canceled. And we're talking about millions of dollars, certainly in Indianapolis, of economic impact, because it's not just, you know, it's the hotels, it's the restaurants, it's the bars downtown. There's a lot of nightlife around downtown Indianapolis that's kind of grown up around this brand new convention center that the city's had for several years now. It's a huge deal here, and it helped prompt this legislative fix that we saw yesterday.
Well, let's get into this fix. What exactly changed in this?
Well, it's legalese. That's what it comes down to. But the language that they passed yesterday says that the religious freedom law cannot be used by anyone to refuse services to anyone on the basis of race, religion, gender, and sexual orientation or gender identity. That's important because that's the first time those words have appeared in Indiana state law. Now, it's important to note that, like I mentioned earlier, the state civil rights statute doesn't have those phrases in it, which means in all but 12 Indiana cities that have human rights ordinances that bar discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, and everywhere else in Indiana, that's still legal because RFRA, as it's called, the Religious Freedom Law, had no impact on that whatsoever.
Right. So to hammer that point home a little, this does not add sexual orientation as a protected group under civil rights laws. It just says you can't discriminate based on sexual orientation on this new RFRA law, based on that.
That's absolutely correct. Although it was pointed out not only by gay rights organizations and businesses, but even the Republican legislative leaders in the General Assembly noted yesterday, as they talked about this legislative fix they were proposing, they said this is really the start of a larger conversation. This has made us think about perspectives we haven't considered before, a debate we haven't really touched at all. So the most lasting impact, perhaps, of this whole RFRA debate in Indiana will be kind of a fast-forwarding of a conversation about gay rights in this state.
Now, supporters of the original version of the law, as they said, this fix wasn't really needed. They were trying to make the case that this didn't allow discrimination. So Were the people who agreed to the fix, who had previously supported it, saying this was symbolic to address national concerns that were overblown to begin with?
They didn't use the word symbolic, but it was largely, yes, that. They said all along, people like the Republican legislative leaders, Speaker Brian Bosma, Senate President Pro Tem David Long said, there is nothing wrong with this law. It is a good law, but we understand the perception that's out there. So we are going to be explicitly clear when we say it will not be allowed to be used for discrimination. That was really what this was about. It was about sending the message, making it clear. Like I said, the only concrete thing you could argue it did is protect those 12 cities that have the human rights ordinances, protect those ordinances from any questions about whether they'd be allowed to continue under a RFRA challenge.
We're talking to Brandon Smith from Indiana Public Broadcasting about a new change, a fix, it's being called, to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in that state that's gotten national attention. And Brandon, people who have criticized this law from the beginning, looking at this new fix, are they saying, okay, our work here is done, nothing to see here, everything's good now?
Most reaction hasn't been quite like that. There have been a few, notably I'd say the one that springs to mind is the NCAA had a positive statement that after the fix was passed by the General Assembly, proposed and passed by the General Assembly. It said, you know, we were very concerned and now we're okay. Most businesses, most groups say this is a good start, but this conversation isn't over, which goes back to what we talked about a second ago about the idea of fast-forwarding the gay rights conversation. It's not going to happen this year. There's only about a month left in the General Assembly's session, and they're not going to do anything in terms of making sexual orientation a protected class this year. But we will almost certainly see the debate next year.
So that's reaction from critics of that original religious freedom law. How about the supporters, the people who are behind this? Do they feel like it's been diluted in any way based on this new fix?
Oh, more than that. They talked about, they used the word dismantle in some statements yesterday. Groups like Indiana Right to Life, the pro-life movement, pro-family, quote-unquote pro-family conservative groups came out pretty vociferously against this so-called legislative fix, saying it would destroy the original law, it would undo the religious protections that they had been given only a week ago, and they called on the governor to veto it, which of course he didn't do last night. He did sign it.
And the business community within Indiana, you mentioned the Chamber of Commerce and their take on this law from the beginning. What kind of response have you heard from them since this fix passed yesterday?
So far, it's been positive. The Indiana Chamber of Commerce was one of the groups who stood behind the Republican leaders yesterday. And in this show of support from the business community, there were more than 20 business leaders standing behind them as they announced this legislative fix. So it seems like they were part of the process in crafting the legislative fix. The lawmakers met with business leaders to kind of get to a place that the business community could say, okay, we fixed it, we can move forward now. And we're starting to see that impact already. For instance, Wilco, the band Wilco, who had canceled a concert in Indianapolis in response to RFRA, has gone back and reversed that decision, will be going ahead with the concert.
Is there a sense that among people who are promoting tourism, conventions, business in general in Indiana, that they're in damage control mode now?
They were most of this week, certainly, and they're still seeking to repair that damage, absolutely, particularly in Indianapolis, which, of course, the spotlight is shining so brightly on because of the Final Four this weekend, which I know is important to you guys up here in Wisconsin. they have been working around the clock, putting new signs up all over the airports, all over the city. You know, Indy welcomes all, everyone is welcome, no discrimination here, that sort of thing. Absolutely, damage control would be a good way to describe it.
Now, you may be aware that Wisconsin has had an issue or two over the last few years that's brought about a lot of division in the state, gotten national attention here. Is this unusual for Indiana, or do you feel there's that sense of strong partisan divide there as well?
It's not that unusual. We've had a couple of particularly sharp debates over the last few years. We had our own right-to-work debate before you guys did, or around the same time you guys did, back in 2012. We had our own gay marriage debate last session. last year when the Republicans tried to pass a ban against gay marriage into the state's constitution, ultimately rejected by lawmakers, and then a gay marriage battle in the court system in Indiana last year. So not a stranger to a pretty marked debate by both sides, but nothing like the national backlash that we saw over this particular debate.
And as we wrap up, this brief flirt maybe with the national spotlight, do you think what happened there in Indiana is maybe sending a message to other states, Arkansas also in the spotlight now, maybe other states might hesitate before moving ahead based on this experience?
Well, in fact, I talked with a public radio station down in Georgia about this issue earlier this week, and I heard from one of the people down there that the Georgia legislature, which had been considering its own version of RFRA, seems to be pulling back from that debate entirely, for at least for this year. So I think it is causing other states to look at Indiana and go, do we really want a piece of that?
Brandon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Brandon Smith, State House reporter at Indiana Public Broadcasting, talking about Indiana's amendment to their controversial religious freedom law. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert's off today. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.